They've been complaining for some time now about the lack of government, and there's no doubt that we have lack of government here in Northern Ireland. 1,000 days since devolution, 1,000 days since devolution was suspended. And I want to speak to Esmond Burney, who's a leading economist who's been keeping a watchful economic eye on this. Dr. Esmond Burney, good morning.
Good morning.
The cost, what has the cost been? I see a headline figure of £3 million a month. Is that right?
Yes, that's taken from the Northern Ireland budget. It's the sort of total running cost, the salaries, the administration, the electricity, whatever, management of the building, of keeping dormant the assembly and the facilities for it in being, even though it's not operational. But in a sense, that's only the tip of the iceberg, unfortunately, because I think much more costly, ultimately, is what we're missing out from not having a fully functioning or effective regional government. We're simply not keeping up to date in terms of redeveloping government policies, be it policy for energy, which I think you're dealing with in other parts of your programme, industrial policy, reform of the health service, which is obviously very necessary and affecting so many people, or the lack of reform. That public spending patterns are sort of frozen where they were in 2017, so that they're not being updated because there aren't ministers to do it, and it's not reasonable to expect senior civil servants to exercise a political function. Indeed, it wouldn't be right for them so to do. Major investment decisions aren't been taken. We need literally billions of pounds to deal with the waiting list problem, potholes in the roads, and indeed to modernise the North Island Water Service. But those key decisions are not being made. And indeed, there are other costs which may not be immediately apparent. They may be subtle, but they're accumulating over time. And we're nearly at 3 years from when we last had a functioning executive. So it's becoming more and more pressing.
Those who are protesting, and a significant number are protesting, they say that they deserve better. Do you get a sense at all from your position, and you're also someone who would have been very close to politics in the past, that they're being listened to?
That's very hard to judge, because on the one hand, yes, to be fair to politicians of all parties, many of them are trying to do their best. So there is public pressure, but equally, all parties obviously have their positions, their so-called red lines, and so forth. And they're obviously think they're reflecting what their own support base and the electorate wish.
Do you get a sense at all on the issues around, particularly the issue around abortion, that there might be some sort of mini deal in the offing before next week, or is that pie in the sky?
Well, my personal view is, and I think it's a view of many people, and possibly even the majority of people in Northern Ireland, that such sensitive and controversial issues would be much better decided in the local forum, in other words, the Assembly, rather than having legislation, as it were, imposed over the heads of North Island MPs, and indeed the heads of the North Island public, through Westminster. And I think it relates back to this other point that we're dealing with about the cost of not having a government. We're sort of in a bit of a vicious circle here, that we haven't had a functioning government for some time, and therefore this is encouraging the viewpoint that we should almost be taking powers away from any future stormants. So, as you say, areas of social moral legislation like abortion, definition of marriage, but equally also the hot topic at the moment in terms of Brexit. The view, which has been very strongly expressed by a number of people, that basically North Ireland should take regulation set by the European Commission, and that we should have no say or no veto or accountability check on that. I think we're in a bit of a, almost a, as I say, a vicious circle here. We're almost encouraging a lack of responsibility on the part of politicians, which in turn may lead to them acting less responsibly in the future and therefore make restoration of a functioning regional government less likely.
Would I be too optimistic if I suggested that if a deal was to be formed around Brexit in the very near future, that then maybe the reappearance, the re-emergence, the re-establishing of the executive and the assembly would be more likely?
Well, it's hard to say for sure, but there certainly is that view that there's been a tendency of the part of some senior politicians to say, let's just wait to see how this thing is settled. There's no point us being up on the hill, as it were, and taking responsibility of these issues. Let's see this get passed, and then perhaps after that. So we shall see. And, after yesterday's meeting between the two prime ministers, UK and Irish, some of the impressions are a little bit more optimistic. But obviously, we've had many bumps up and down in that particular political process.
Dr. Esmond Burney, thank you very much indeed for your analysis on it this morning. Dylan Quinn is an activist in the field. Good morning, Dylan.
Good morning, Frank.
Dylan, the 1,000th day, you're one of the We Deserve Better team. Do you get a sense that you're closer to the re-establishing of an executive, as there is a suggestion, just a slight hint of a suggestion, that there may be some deal on Brexit?
I think the reality is we're not going to get a return to Stormont anytime soon because of the complexities of Brexit, but also because of the inherent dysfunctionality and ineffectiveness of the system in Stormont. That does not mean that it is not important that the community comes together in order to voice their frustration at that and to keep the pressure on MLAs and on the political parties to actually be doing something about the lack of government. You know, even the lack of engagement in talks demonstrates how little effort they are putting into restoring government here. So whilst we understand and appreciate the complexities of it and the challenges of restoring that, we must, as a civic society, be more active in holding them to account for that. And I think that's what We Deserve Better is also about, is about trying to provide a platform for people to voice their frustration at that and to be continually active and understand our agency and power in doing that. So I think the reality is we have a huge amount of challenges, and Brexit has increased that enormously. But we need to understand that we are the guardians of the direction of our travel here, and we need to take more action in doing that.
Do you just get a sense of, if the executive was re-established and the assembly was up and running again, it wouldn't work?
Yes, I mean, I think essentially it would continue to all of these blocks along the way, because the process started off with two parties, essentially the SDLP and the Ulster Unionist Party, coming together in some sort of agreement in the centre, and slowly over time what it has ended up doing is it's pulling in the more extreme parties, or the parties with more divergent views between the DUP and Sinn Féin, and that just doesn't work. There's a nub at the heart of that actually causes a problem, and as people who elect these representatives, we need to also understand that if we want this to work, we need to put people in place who can make it work, and whose views and opinions, whilst might be so divergent and desiring such different things in this society, can actually find a way of working together. So I think the reality is there are major flaws in the way that Stormont works, and we all know those in terms of the petition of concern and in terms of the way MLAs work in that and the lack of opposition. And so there are major decisions, major issues that need to be explored, and we need people who are going to provide leadership to do that. And currently, those specifically those two main political parties are not demonstrating that leadership. And we need political leaders who will step out of their ideological bind and go, actually, we need to create a better society in Northern Ireland and start proper conversations about how we create a strong and positive future for our young people here.
So can we take from what you're saying that you believe the Good Friday Agreement has outlived any usefulness it may have had?
No, it's not that the Good Friday Agreement has outlived any usefulness. I think what happens is, you know, there needs to be movement in all of the the systems that were developed as part of that, that we need to understand that actually it needs to be a movable feast. It needs to be flexible in order to allow for the changes in society and the movement that we require as we move forward. So it's not about going, actually, we chuck something out, but it's about going, what are the realities now, and how do we work with the structures that we have in place in order to make better, more effective structures, better, more effective forms of government? If we look in the South, they are being much more effective in terms of the way they are using citizens' assembly to engage the community in discourse, engage the community in some sort of deliberative democracy. And we're not doing that. What we're doing, and I think Dr. Burney kind of referred to it, it's almost like we're taking responsibility away, and the peace process to some degree did that a little bit. It took the responsibility away from people and handed it to people in the extremes. And it also jumped over a whole process, a truth and reconciliation process, that a traumatised society, like a post-conflict society that Northern Ireland is, that we required. So there are huge gaps in our process that have been left out, and we need to find a way, and we need political leaders who will actually take charge of putting them back in again and figuring out those steps so that we can start to form a more functioning and effective inclusive society.
Okay, the voice, Dylan, the voice of the We Deserve Better campaign on this, the 1,000th day. Thank you. This is the U105 phone-in. Good morning. The U105.